We're speaking about God's kingdom in our lives and the availability of that kingdom, that we all have the opportunity to say no to God, but that God lets us get away with it in the sense that he does not get at that moment, that eventually you and I will have to give an account. For you will have to give an account. You have free will, but that free will cost you.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, March 24th, 2024, Palm Sunday. Today, Pastor Zoni is speaking, and the text comes to us from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
The passage that we're looking at this morning has to do with Palm Sunday. I will honor the calendar. And it's found in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 43. And it's a remarkable passage. I like to read it, and I like for us to reflect on that itself this morning. It addresses some of the big issues of life and the way in which Jesus was treated and how things developed in this beginning of a holy week. So beginning in verse 28, it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him. Everybody said that together. Tell him, the Lord needs it. Okay. Verse 32. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, again, everybody, the Lord needs it. Verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks and on the road. When they had come near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, there are always Pharisees in the crowd. That's besides the point. That's another sermon. But anyway, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out to you. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you on every side. Verse 44, they will dash you on the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. Interesting. Those who were selling. He goes on. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and teachers of the law and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. One more, yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. People responded to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem with great joy, also with a note of betrayal, and some of them offering their own lives. As you study the life of Jesus in the Gospels, you find that the last week of Jesus, all the three Gospels focus on the event of his life. As a matter of fact, it's very important to note that most of what we have in the Gospels has to do with the last week of Jesus' lives. And the way in which you read the Gospels, you see the words describing a week of emotions, beginning today, emotions. And emotions that capture the heart and life of each one of us. It really does. It represents the ups and the downs of an untold 7 days. It's a book, the great title, The 7 Days That Changed the World. I've not read the book, I just read the title. But it's true, 7 days that changed the world. And when you look at the gospel narrative, as you read the scriptures, you find words that, well, you know them very well. Hosanna. Confrontation. Betrayal. The whole week. Denial. Trial. Scourging. Crucifixion. The tomb. But, of course, the most electrifying sentence of this week is, he's not here, he is risen. But before he rose again, he went through Holy Week, what we call. Palm Sunday is what people have named as a day of temporary triumph. At worst, it's an illustration of how fickle the voice of the people really is. We'll get to that. It's a week that lifts us with great shouts of praise, and there's the ups and there's the downs. It's a week that reveals the abyss of denial, of betrayal, duplicity of Judas, the unfaithfulness of Peter, the ambivalence of Pilate, the disciples, the weakness. They fled the city. Did you know that? They fled the city. The agony of Jesus between two thieves, one who cursed him, and the other one who said, please, forgive me. See how extreme the emotions, how extreme of a week this was? Maybe like your week. There's sometimes in your day, in your week, the day is beautiful. And then towards the end of it, it is awful. Well, I can tell you, the week, the bleakness of the final things. It ends in a borrowed tomb. But then the glory of the resurrection, which we don't want to leave out. But before we can get to the resurrection, we have to go through Good Friday, through what he went through. It begins on Palm Sunday today, a day of applause. And it's when Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time. Some commentators say that Jesus planned a parade because it's amazing how at that moment Jesus avoided the public because people would come and applaud him and acclaim him and wanted to be near him for the things that he was able to do for them. It seems like now Jesus is ready to go into Calvary, and he chooses a time when there will be people all over the world that had come there. A city that was jammed with pilgrims that have come to celebrate Passover. And as he entered into Jerusalem, it was a focus on his person. I mean, everybody knew that Jesus was coming. And so he secured a beast of burden. And in the New Testament times, actually in the Old Testament time as well, generals rode on a horse for war. But when a king came riding on a donkey, he came as a king of peace. He came with peace. And he was not to the disciples the martial figure that the people wanted. See, people wanted Jesus to get rid of Rome. The cheer was tremendous. Everybody wanted Jesus, but they wanted him for their own selfish purposes. They wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire, get rid of Rome, give us the freedom. Prior to this, there's this whole scene about a burden of beast. The owner of the beast, somebody, of the donkey, we think Jesus must have somehow, in some way, said, look, when someone comes and asks for this donkey, know that I'm the one asking for it. And all I can tell you is that when the disciples went to untie this donkey, the owner says, what is this? And he says, the Lord needs it. And they said, okay. Jesus was involved in that whole thing. A donkey was given, a gift was given to Jesus voluntarily. The disciples, of course, were caught in this great movement of shouting and screaming and yelling. And the Pharisees, as we read, got upset with the disciples and said, you know, you should really get a handle on those disciples. They're saying things that they should not be saying. And it was a day of temporary triumph because everybody was acclaiming Christ. Everybody was saying, Hosanna, he's the king. Look what he's going to do. But he was not going to do what they wanted him to do. We often want God to do what we want him to do. And if he does what we want him to do, then he will be a God. But if not, then we will crucify him. It began with joy and with Hosanna, but it ends with Jesus weeping over all of Jerusalem. That's what he says. He wept over the city. Well, there are four things I need to leave with you this Sunday morning. First, you need to understand, and I think we already caught it, that his arrival was greeted with deserved joy. Huge crowds had come, and the people heard him gladly. One of the Gospels says that the poor heard him gladly, the poor. People, those who were rejected by the establishments, rejected by the religious leaders, rejected by the system, the ones that were not important for Jesus, they were important. And that goes right to the Beatitudes, doesn't it? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. You keep reading the Beatitudes and you find yourself there, a category that is deficient in the eyes of the world and not loved or cared by the world, but the Lord says, you're blessed. You are blessed. And he offers you and me his kingdom. So the people heard him gladly. And everywhere he went, people rushed in to see him. Because, see, his words were words of truth. They had a ring of truth. And Jesus spoke to the heart. To this day, he speaks to your heart, speaks to you individually, personally. His presence is authoritative. You know when God speaks to your heart. His presence was commanding. And you know, the Bible tells us that the things he did electrified everybody. I mean, blind people could see when they have never seen before. Lame legs surged with vitality and strength. And those that were confined to pallets, multitudes of afflictions, got up and lived good, useful, wonderful, blessed lives. Everybody pressed, if I could just touch his garment, I will be healed. Everybody knew that Jesus was somebody. You know, how many of you have seen the Man of the Mancha? The dream? Stay with me. The impossible dream. When you came to Jesus, you were able to dream the impossible dream, and guess what? You were part of that impossible dream. Because he made it possible what was impossible before. Yeah. He touched them. He healed them. Parents would bring their children for the children to be blessed. There was a caravan of people in need. And they came to him so he could touch and heal them. And Jesus did. He did not say, hey, whoa, you got to make an appointment in my calendar. depressed people came to him. And they were lifted and made whole. Hopeless hearts. You read and read the Gospels and you're astonished as to how Jesus responded to the needs of lost humanity. This is Jesus, the crowds came. Make no mistake whatsoever, there was great joy as he entered the city, as there should have been, because everybody knew that Jesus was somebody who cared. But there was something in there that just wasn't adding up, because the crowds were somewhat selfish. Jesus was not selfish. Jesus knew what he was doing with each one. People receiving from God did not understand what that really meant in their lives. But this triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, as the week unfolds, you will see the downfall all the way to what we call Good Friday. The coalition of temple hierarchy, the Roman government, and the betrayal within his own little group of 12. Think of that. A betrayal from within. It would lead to his death, his crucifixion. So this is the challenge that Jesus was facing during this week, and that caused his disciples to abruptly abandon his cause. Yeah. Jesus said, "Would you pray with me for 1 hour?" And as Jesus wept, tears as of blood, the disciples snored. They could not even watch with him 1 hour. Jesus said to them prior, "Will you also leave me? Are you also going to abandon me? Are you going to walk away from me?" And of course, Peter is the one who spoke for them and says, "We will not go away. I will never deny you, Lord." Of course not. And you know exactly what happened. Jesus was dealing with fickle humanity, was he not? I guess he was dealing with people just like us. They made promises that they could not keep. He couldn't keep it for 1 hour. Would you pray for me for 1 hour? Couldn't even do that. They didn't keep the promises. Peter, James, and John, while Jesus was sweating blood, they were taking naps. They made all kinds of promises to Jesus by night, but when the day came, they made tracks. I don't know. I would have called 10,000 angels right there and said, "Take me home." And 20 centuries have passed since that day, and there's still ambivalence on Palm Sunday. You know, it was an electrifying moment of that public entry and confrontation, but people did not understand that he stood for a kingdom of the heart. And people wanted a kingdom of the outside, physical kingdom. Think of it, when you follow through the week, you find that Jesus on the way to Calvary was carrying the burden of the cross. His back had been lacerated. There was a crown of thorns in his brow, and he stumbled. The weight of the cross was such. Surely, as he stumbled, surely a disciple would have run and said, "I'll help you." No disciple was available to help the Lord as he was bearing the cross. Simon of Cyrene, a stranger, was volunteered by the government, the Roman soldier. "Oh, God has given us a king," they said. "Long live the king. Let all heaven rejoice." They were nowhere to be found. They greeted him with joy, but the reality that the applause always ends. Beware when people speak so good of you. It's better if people don't speak too good of you. You may be in the winning side and you don't even know it. The voice of the people is always fickle. They're with you today, and they're not with you tomorrow. You cannot rely on what people say. Somebody said, today's hero is tomorrow's goat. I don't know what that means, but I thought it was nice of me to say that. You know, so I don't like goat meat, but anyway. But crowds have very short memories. And sometimes we as Christians have short memories to what God has done in our lives. And we wake up in the morning and we say, God, what are you going to do for me today? What has he already done for you? Well, no, what is he going to do for me now? Because you see, this is a deal. I go, I do, if you do, and you do it for me now. And this is what I want you to do. Let me just read to you a portion of history dealing with Napoleon. He was traveling through Switzerland with his army and was greeted with thunderous applause and enthusiasm. And so one of his supporters said to him, it must be delightful to be greeted with such demonstration of enthusiastic admiration. Bah, said Napoleon. This same unthinking crowd under a slight change of circumstances would follow me just as eagerly to the gallows. That's what happened to Jesus. The same folks that cheered him on Sunday cried later on, crucify him and give us Barabbas. It happened before the week was over. They greeted him with joy, but the applause ended. How about for sustainability of our belief system? We will acclaim you to be our Savior. And what about Lord? Well, what is he going to do for me? The third thing I need to mention this morning, and it's only going to be four, so you got two more to go. We're in the middle, so we're fine. He comes and he's accompanied by tears. He wept because he knew. He knew the condition of the people, and he knew their need. He came to change the heart. Catch this, please. Jesus came to change their heart, not their government. Take a big depth, breath and think that. Okay, it's important. There are two times when Jesus weeps and cries. And the first is the one when he heard that his friend Lazarus had died. He wept, and yet he provided life for Lazarus. I said yesterday in the funeral that Jesus wept, showing lament, showing grievousness. He felt Jesus was human, and he was divine, but he was human. And the second time that he cries is over Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was in a place where Jerusalem had lost the opportunity to experience God's love. He explained his mission over and over, but they never got it. They never understood the message. Sometimes we come to church, we hear the gospel, we hear, and we explain, if I can use the word, we explain. We speak, we show, but we never get the message, seem to get the message. The disciples, his inner circle of followers were also in a big muddle, hopeless muddle. They did not know right from left. You look at the band of disciples and, oh my goodness, they had their own agendas. They had their own ambitions. They were all trying to see who was going to be more powerful. One would deny him publicly. Another would betray him. Others would flee the city. When the chips were down, they all run for the hills. It's enough to make you weep and cry. You know, sometimes in the ministry, and some of you will understand this, others will not, but in your own place as you serve the Lord, there are great disappointments to be tackled with. When you invest tons of time with people and circumstances and situations, and at the end of the day, you're let down. That's the curse of humanity, isn't it? It's enough to make anybody weep. There's a rule among pastors, you know. The rule, well, you're not pastor, a couple of you are, but the rule of pastors is you never quit on Monday. Because every Monday is quit day. Because of Sunday. That went real good. I really appreciate your empathy here. It's a tough crowd, Chris. Next Sunday I'll wear black, okay? The disciples knew what was going on. They said, the danger is right here. And they even told Jesus, don't go. I mean, Peter said, don't go there. And Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I mean, that's exactly right. Jesus persisted because he was and is and will always be love. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. And Jesus persisted in going to Jerusalem. And he went there knowing what everything was going to happen to him. He continues to say, whoever reaches to me, I will love you. I mean, the cross proves that. He's dying between two thieves, and one of them says, remember me. The other one was cursing. The other one says, hey, you know, we deserve this, but this man does not deserve it. And please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. What? I mean, he should have said, you bunch of rotten, good-for-nothing human beings. I should have left you in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. But no. He wept, though, for Jerusalem because Jerusalem was not responding. They were rejecting an opportunity that Jesus was offering to them. I ask you to repeat that sentence as we read the scriptures because this is what I need to go to. This is a very important sentence. When Jesus was in the planning of this wonderful triumphal entry, he had this donkey set apart. And the disciples went and talked to the owner, and they said, the Lord has need of it. And as he enters into the city, the owner knew that Jesus needed it. And the needs continue to be today. There's always someone who may listen and will do what the Lord calls them to do. And this is the fourth thing that I mentioned today, is that his arrival demands a response. Because believe it or not, he has arrived at your Jerusalem. And today is your Palm Sunday in front of you, your heart. And this is how it needs to begin. By you simply saying to him, Lord, what do you need of me? Here it is. What do you need from me, Lord? He needs you to say, here I am, Lord. Whatever you want, it's yours. In this case, the man offered him a donkey. The donkey is what he needed. And you and I have an inventory of gifts, things that we have, things that we have received from God. Talents, untold talents, gifts, the gifts of hand, the gift of heart, things that God has given to you. And you and I need to ask ourselves the question, what am I giving to God in this Palm Sunday? This man gave a donkey. Hey, I don't have a donkey, but I have a heart. I have a mind. I have talents. I have will. I have friends. I have this position. This Sunday, we should ask ourselves the question, does he have any needs of my gift? What can I gift the Lord with? He's asking for your heart. He wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem would not listen. And Jerusalem in AD 70 was thrown down, was disposed of, was conquered. No stone was left unturned. There is a destruction that comes when we reject God. We're speaking about God's kingdom in our lives and the availability of that kingdom, that we all have the opportunity to say no to God, but that God lets us get away with it in the sense that he does not get it at that moment, that eventually you and I will have to give an account. For you will have to give an account. You have free will, but that free will cost you. It will. Yeah. You want to be independent, then you pay the consequences of independence. So all of us need to ask ourselves this one question. Can he have my gift? Can I give him my heart? Can I do this? And he will say yes. Understand the hour of visitation upon you. Understand the Lord working in your heart. The Lord has a need of you. He has a need of you. You need to give your gifts to the Lord. So as I conclude this Sunday morning, I looked at the gifts that I have received from the Lord and what I have from him, and I have said to him, Lord, have it all back to you. Whatever you need, here it is. Here is my time. Here is my talent. Here is my treasure. All yours, Lord. Whatever you need. I don't want to be like Jerusalem that did not understand the day of visitation. When the Lord visits my heart and my life, I say, what do you need? What do you want? And the Lord says this, and I say, you can have that, Lord. And there's this will in our hearts to say yes to what he asks. And he asks very secretly in the sense that he does not make a public ask. He just speaks to your heart, and then you do it. And nobody really needs to know what you're doing, but God does. Because there's a level of obedience and commitment to what he needs and what you're able to give to meet that need that he understands and blesses. So Palm Sunday is one of those Sundays that we celebrate by seeing Jesus coming in. And I thank God for him coming into Jerusalem and everybody happy that he came. But at the same time, we know that he was walking right into the lion's mouth. He knew exactly what was going to happen. But he paid no attention to the negatives that were upon him and the issues that could have made him turn away. He understood that you and I are loved by the Father and that he loved us as well. And that he paid the ultimate price that you and I may enjoy eternal life forever and ever with him. Eternal life that begins the moment you are born again. The moment you come to him, life eternal begins, and you begin to serve him as a disciple of his, a follower of his. And as a follower of him, you develop a constant understanding that there is a mission, that there is a purpose, that there is direction, and that is given to you through the pages of God's word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart and says, this is the way, walk in. So Palm Sunday, give him what he's asking. If you have never given your heart to him, then do so this Sunday and say, Lord, here is my heart. Here is my life. Here is the seat of my emotions, my reasoning faculties, Lord. It all goes to you so that you may give me a new heart and that my mind will be renewed so it will not be conformed to the world, but will be refurnished and rebuilt and re-strengthened by that which you built the universe. Lord Jesus, I thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and lives. Lord, we sing Hosanna, and we thank you for the beginning of this wonderful Holy Week. But Lord, as we go into this week, we find ourselves surrounded by betrayal and anguish and pain and difficulties. And yet, Lord, you endured it all. You did, because you love us. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand that love, that everything that goes on in our lives is to strengthen us and to design us to serve you better. But not just to serve you better, it's designed that we may be better. For Lord, everything that comes to us, everything that we must do, everything you incline us, push us to do, is for our own well-being and is for your name to be glorified. Lord, you said to us that as we are, we are the salt of the earth by your declaration, Lord, and that we are the light of the world. And as salt and light, we are to do good works that you, Lord, will glorify your name. And people will look and say, there is a God. And there we see him in people's faces, in people's actions. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would work in our hearts in such a way that this would be the beginning of a week where we will surrender that which you're asking us to surrender, to give to you. Our hearts, Lord, our time, our treasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be
the Lord is asking of you, you should say yes to him. Don't cause the Lord to cry over your stubbornness or your indifference. Say, Lord, here it is. Is this what you need of me? I will do so. It's wonderful to be in the cheering crowd, but you know, it's better to give that cult, to give that which the Lord needs and asks. So whatever it is, do that. Don't resist him. Simply say, here it is, Lord. It's yours, Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord asks for things that are not nice. Like, give me your vice. Give me your drugs. Give me your alcohol. Give me your addictions. Give me all that nasty stuff, because it's nasty. And you will replace it with love. So Lord, here I am. What do you need for me to do? And he will touch you, and he will bless you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's sing that one more time before we're dismissed.
Change my heart.
How many are willing for him to change your heart? There you go.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be. Oh, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Amen. Well, listen, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Let's have this place full. Grab someone that you have not seen for a while. I'm tirando de las orejas and bring them to church. Bring them on church, to church on Sunday. This Friday is Good Friday. We have a wonderful service. So let's pull together. Let's be a witness to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.